Chapter 7. You are not a prophet, and neither is Grandma. This is a chapter about language. No, not about reducing the use of curse words around your children, although that would probably be wise. It's about the power of your language to shape your world and the worlds of each of your children. Remember watching your children as infants, wondering what was rattling through their heads? I recall questioning what my baby's thoughts could be. Since she had no words to attach to those thoughts, did she think in pictures or sound? I carefully watched the process of her learning those first words. Those first sentences appeared seemingly out of nowhere. The next time you get frustrated because your children don't listen to you, think of this. How do children learn to speak with an accent? Kids are actually fantastic listeners from the very day they enter this world. They have keen ears with which to hear every syllable, every inflection, every tonality in our conversations. It doesn't take long before they begin to articulate phrases that surprise us, utter thoughts that astound us, and repeat sentences that embarrass us. A woman named Cindy learned this the hard way. When her daughter was 3 years old, Cindy took her on a walk through the park. There, Cindy learned how well her daughter had been listening to one of her oft-repeated phrases. And of course, it happened at a ridiculously inappropriate time. It always does. The phrase was this: "You must eat your vegetables or you'll get scurvy." This anxiety-based threat was something Cindy told her daughter repeatedly, even embellishing it with a horrifying picture of what scurvy can actually do. Not that she really knew, but she painted a pretty horrible picture anyway. Well, that day as they were walking through the park, Cindy and her daughter encountered three people walking toward them. One had an unfortunate physical ailment that prevented him from walking normally. As they passed the group on the sidewalk, Cindy nodded a polite greeting and kept walking. Her three-year-old daughter, however, had something to say. She stopped in her tracks, turned around, put her hands on her hips, and proclaimed indignantly, "He should have eaten his vegetables." Almost every parent has a similar story, some even more embarrassing. What this story illustrates is another way we shape the relational environment of our home, through our use of language. Linguistic experts have been helpful in teaching us how powerful we are as parents in shaping the very thought patterns of our children. Language is the currency of all relationships, including how any of us relate to the world outside of ourselves. It gives us vocabulary to express thought, grammar to govern our interactions, and stories to shape our worldview. You are probably aware of all this. You've probably read or heard information about the language transmission process that has blown your mind. What you may not be aware of is how the words you use around and about your children actually shape their sense of space. As we've seen in the last three chapters, keeping our cool helps us create and honor our children's space, their freedom to grow into self-direction. By placing limits on our own freedom, we thereby create and honor theirs. When it comes to our language, especially the words we use about our children, we again need to limit our freedom. We simply do too much talking about them, too much comparison, too much categorization, too much prognostication, and it's time to stop. Becoming a scream-free parent means taking a very hard look at our own anxiety-driven need to label our children's tendencies and predict our child's destiny. Before you think you may not have this problem, keep listening. Let's begin by looking at the power of labels.